me in your Bibles for our scripture reading this afternoon, and we'll have two readings. Our first reading will be Romans 8, verses 28 through 39, and then we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read verses 25 through 34. After the reading of God's word, we will sing Psalter number 32. Romans 8 at 28 through to 39. Congregation, hear the word of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and then reading at verse 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. I would invite you to turn with me in the back of our Psalter to Lord's Day 10. This is where we are as a congregation, Lord's Day 10. And reading question 27, I'll read them both. Question 27 and 28. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Answer. The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Question 28, what advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Dear congregation, when we think of providence as a, well, we can think of it as a doctrine, and we can study it, its history, its effects. But when we think of providence in our own lives, we generally are thinking of the obvious things, where we stand back and say, well, this is remarkable. The Lord obviously has done this. And we give him praise for it, and we recognize his hand. But that really is the pinnacle of providence. It's not the scope of providence. And that's what Lord's Day 10 is telling us, that the scope of providence is all-encompassing. And we need to be able to look at the doctrine of providence in such a way that encompasses all things. And so this is how providence works. Let's say you didn't wind up in Chilton Hospital tonight because you were 37 seconds early coming to church this afternoon than you generally or usually are, let's say. No real reason, except at home, everything went smoothly, the family got together in time, and what do you know, you were half a minute early. Well done. And the woman at the intersection that would have hit you if you weren't 37 seconds early, thankfully, she didn't see anyone in her rearview mirror as she ran the red light through the intersection. She was distracted because she was putting lip balm on. And she was putting on her lip balm while she was driving because she just had another early morning fight with her husband. And she had another early morning fight with her husband and was all disheveled that morning because the night before he had been out, well, till all hours of the night. And he had been drinking again. And he had been drinking because he had just lost his job. He was hoping for a promotion, but in fact, he winds up losing a job because his numbers were unsatisfactory that month, and the last person, the rule is that the lowest numbers per month will automatically lose their job. And he didn't really put in the effort that month because he was hoping for a promotion, for another opportunity that didn't happen because the one who promised him the job himself was let go. And he was let go because, you understand where this is going? The things that we look at when it comes to providence are never the small things that make up the large. Let's say that's why you're not in Chilton Hospital tonight, but you made it to church. That's providence. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, that the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruit and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And so we're going to look at Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27 together this evening or this afternoon. And our theme will be not by chance. And we'll have three thoughts. First, we're going to see the power of providence. Secondly, the coverage of providence. And then lastly, the purpose of providence. Not by chance, the power, coverage, and purpose of providence. First then, the power of providence. If you look back at our catechism, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures. And then if you would just glance down at the bottom of our Psalter and you look at the scripture proof at the bottom of the page from Acts chapter 17, this really opens up. And we know why our forefathers put this in here, the subject of how vast God's providence is. Read in verse 25 of Acts 17, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he need anything, seeing he giveth life to all life and breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." And then verse 28 especially, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." That about covers it, don't you think? But if you analyze what Paul is saying on Mars Hill to a group of Greek thinkers, Roman and Greek minds, there are, again, certain elements that the apostle points out here in reference to God's providence. All mankind of one blood and all nations over all the face of the earth. He has determined what? Their times, their bounds, and their habitation. And he determines their times and their bounds and their habitation. All that for this, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, like Cornelius did. And Paul is saying, for in him we all live, and we all move, and we all have our being. That's what Paul was saying on Mars Hill to the great Platonic philosopher's students. For in him we live. And by that, Paul is saying the revelation that our existence is not of our own making, and it's not of the making of the so-called gods, false gods, which are nothing but the devil's tool. That we are here completely without our own say. We are here by someone else's direction and pleasure. It is by God's doing that we live. And that the very essence of God himself sustains us. Our life, our every breath is proof of his existence, of his presence. Because our life in Adam sprang out of his eternal self. The only creature that God made, that he breathed into, and they became a living soul. And from that moment, being kept by the word of his power, in this we see our dependence on him. In him we move In him we live, in him we move. That means the dynamics, what, of our daily motion? Well, yes, but no. The dynamics of our purposes, the dynamics of our actions. Why are you here? How are you living your only life on earth? The purpose of your life. It's not simply that we are alive because of God, but that his divine providence has guided and is guiding every motion, every decision, every stir within our souls. Our movements and motions and purposes, they seem three-dimensional because we, being part soul, or as much soul as we are body, have never seen the next realm. So we interpret everything through the three-dimensional world in which we live, but we're actually paving the runway that leads to our eternity. It's very spiritual. Each step is ordained by God. Lastly, Paul says, and have our being. That means he's talking there about the essence of our existence. In God is the core of our identity, the foundation of our reality. And so this little sermon that Paul gives on Mars Hill encapsulates the totality of human experience within the divine context, where God is not a distant overseer, but he is the very ground and foundation and being of it all. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Well, secondly, let's look at the coverage of providence. Back to our catechism. By his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruit and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. There are three words that I want to have stand out under this point. Not by chance. Not by chance. We live our lives, and when we have reflective moments, we often look back and say, if only I would have done it this way. How much different my life would be today if only this would have happened, and if I would have done this instead of that. Dear one, it's not by chance. I wish that I was more gifted than I am. Not by chance. How did you and Mom meet? Not by chance. How did you get that promotion? Not by chance. The coverage of providence is 100% global. It is completely universal, including the cosmos itself. There is no such thing as chance, also known today as luck. Providence means not a chance. And because there is no chance, this is why God's word is against betting, for instance. God has, as the Westminster Confession of Faith says, God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And so betting has no chance. And we say, or some say, well, come on, it's just for fun. We're just, let's say there's a group of young men who are sitting around and they're playing poker with no money but just chips. We're not betting any money. It's just for fun. Did you just say it's just for fun? Did you just admit that you'd like to make the providence of God your plaything? That you want His eternal decree to be your amusement? Is that it? And it goes way deeper than simple gambling traits. The lottery, for instance, and the like, is saying, I want to take my lot in life, and that's where the word lottery comes from, your lot in life. You want to gamble it. You want to take a chance. It's taking the lot that God has given you, by the way, and rolling it all on black, as it were, to see if I can't improve somehow what God clearly is not willing to give me through ordinary means. That I'm not satisfied with what He's given. This is why gambling is a sin, because it's not by chance anything. We can't play with providence. Stock market closing bell, not by chance. The war in Israel, not by chance. Our current government and administration, not by chance. The rise of the technocracy of corporations, as powerful as governments, becoming almost world powers in themselves through this new advancement in technology called algorithms. Not by chance. The incursion, and soon to be the overwhelming nature of artificial intelligence, not by chance. That you were born for this time, not by chance. By His hand, by His hand. And it goes on to say, by His hand He upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures. This is, again, all-encompassing. Every principality that Ephesians 6 tells us about, every power, every dominion, in every place, high and low, every middle management of power in between, not by chance. And so it goes on. So that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruit in barren years. God's providence extends to the realm of nature. Of course it does. Where it's manifested in the intricate balance of ecosystems and cycles of seasons and the vastness of the universe. It is providence that underpins the natural world and the spiritual world. And they are just features of God's creative power and His wisdom. And it comforts the child of God to know this. And we need reminding of this more and more, especially in the realm of small things. God's providence is in the intricate details of our daily lives, dear ones. He is not a God that stands afar off. This can include seemingly insignificant events and choices that we make throughout the day, like which book am I going to read next, or which route am I going to take to work, or even deciding what we're going to have for dinner. These seemingly mundane decisions can have a profound impact upon our lives and the lives of others. What we think are chance encounters with a stranger can lead to a lifelong friendship or a new job opportunity. It's not to say, Please don't misunderstand me that God somehow micromanages our lives and just willy-nilly makes us do exactly what he has in mind. It's far more complicated than that and far more beautifully intricate than that, but rather he works through our persons, our personality, and he works through the natural order of the world to bring about his purpose. He's far more creative than we think. On the world stage, God's providence is seen in the rising and falling of nations, in the outcome of political events and wars, and really the course of history itself. Even when we don't like it. Even when it looks like we're losing. But dear one, in the story of our lives, God's providence is just as real, just as important to him as global events. We see the hand of God's providence in the breath of our infants, in the morning sunrise, where you have your coffee with your Bible. He's there. The doctrine of God's providence is deep and it's complex, but it is also so personal. It encompasses both the dull and the extraordinary. It encompasses the global and it encompasses the personal. And it reminds us that in the grand story of planet Earth, nothing is outside of his power. And that even the smallest details of our lives are part of a larger story unfolding according to his plan and glory. Psalm 103 says this: "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." And so for you tonight, dear ones, the coverage of God's providence extends from the opening life, the opening scene of your life, all the way to the final curtain. And he's so involved in your life and so focused on it, it is as if you were the only person in the world. And he will bring you to the very end. He'll bring us all to the very end. And for the child of God, death is the dark, thick veil that stands between us and our Savior. And for the unbeliever, the passage to a never-ending eternity of torment and justice. And I know this raises questions in our minds, and perhaps we can approach an answer to it in our final thought, the purpose of providence. And all things come, back to our catechism, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Providence can go the other way too, right? Not by chance. And so you did wind up in Chilton Hospital. Now you have a concussion and some broken ribs, and your kidneys are bleeding, and you've lost your short-term memory. But the Lord is using your time in the hospital to speak to you. You're taking stock of your life because you came very close to dying. And you were abruptly reminded of your mortality. And for a season at least, under the fear and excitement and anxiety of the situation, you become a much more humble walker and talker with your family. You become a more attentive father or mother. You become refocused on the little things, which is good, that we often miss. And the Lord humbles you in that hospital room and your easy chair at home where you are convalescing. And you didn't know it, but your physical therapist overheard some of your friends and family who would periodically come in and visit you, and they would hear, or she would hear them pray for you. And it reminded her of her church when she was a little girl. And she thought, I should go back to church. I need people like that in my life. And so she goes back to church, and the Lord does a saving work in her. And you never knew it. That's also providence. The steps of God's people are ordered of Him, even when we don't know why things are happening to us the way they are. But providence gets even smaller than that. You go to your mailbox, and as you pull the mail out, a handful of mail, one envelope drops to the ground. And as you reach down to pick it up, you notice that your sneaker lace is untied, and so you bend down and you tie it. And as you're down there tying it, you see in the gutter on the driveway a penny. And you don't pick up pennies, but this time, for some reason, you do, and you turn it over, and it's the year of your birth. Isn't that something? And you begin to think of that year. You begin to think of your life as a child, your parents, your upbringing. And now you're in this completely different mindset, and you're walking back to your house, kind of slow walking as you're thinking about these things. And, oh, there's your neighbor. You've never gotten along well with your neighbor. You don't know why, but you've just never clicked. And now the timing is off, it seems, and you have to walk by him. And as you do, you smile and you nod. You've never done that before. And lo and behold, he smiles and nods too. And you think, oh, maybe a new beginning. You walk in through the garage door, and as you do, you kick a skateboard in the dark that makes you stub your toe, and you go crashing into the nearest wall that held you up. And that ruckus causes your daughter to come up from downstairs to see what the bang was, and came out and saw that it was you. And she says, are you okay? And you say, yeah, no, I'm fine. I tripped and everything's okay, but how are you? Well, I'm fine. A father and a daughter whose lives seem to be two ships passing in the night, and for the last few years they just don't seem to connect, and then suddenly, because of what has happened over the last little bit of time, 10 minutes, he lets her know what happened and starts to talk about his younger years and how the Lord has kept and blessed and saved him. And at night, it inspires the daughter to spend a little more time in the Word and a little more time on her knees. This congregation is the type of thing that happens all the time. What's important in that story? Is it the new footing with the old neighbor? Is it the conversation with the daughter, perfectly timed? No. It's all the little things. It's the mailbox and the envelope and the shoelace and the penny, and the skateboard, and the toe. All the little things that build and make up the moments. The Lord is in every one of them. He is in the providences that we know. but he is just as much in the providences that we don't. There are no unimportant moments in your life or mine. Millions of such little providences invade our lives every day. If we listen, providence will always speak. He cares about the sparrow that falls. He cares about the hairs on your head. He cares about the traffic light on 23. And yea, all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And you know, we love to hear about God's power in our churches. We love to hear about God's omniscience. We love to hear about his supremacy and his sovereignty. And we love to hear about it in many different ways and many different passages. We want to sit under such a ministry. But in another way, we also don't like to hear it, because it is true. All creature power is gone. It's gone. And there's a phrase embedded in our answer that makes some of us perhaps a little uncomfortable. The phrase is, but by his fatherly hand. Historically, this would have really troubled many under the preached word. That these things are only working for my benefit and not my judgment if they come to me in my life, but by his fatherly hand. And I don't know. I can't tell if that's my standing before him. Am I a son? Am I a daughter? And you find all of this talk about not by chance, that it really makes you feel rather uncomfortable. It's not by chance that you are here tonight. It's not by chance that you are under the sound of the gospel, and that you are feeling discomfort is not by chance. And if it's not by chance, then deal with that reality tonight. What is providence saying about you being here? And you say, I don't know what his thoughts toward me are tonight. I do. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Look where he has brought you in his perfect providence. All the little things of this day and this week and this year and this life, your life, he's ordained that you would be here. And so now, in light of where he has brought you, what would please him? The canons of Dort tell us, as many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called. For God hath most earnestly and truly shown in his word what is pleasing to him, namely, that those who are called should come to him. Moreover, he seriously promises eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and believe on him. It is not for you to ask. It is for you to believe. to rest on the finished work of Christ as a poor, lost sinner, that you trust Him in the instances of all of your sins and all of your failures, that He is so great a Savior, and that He is so willing to receive sinners, that I am such a one, and I am going to Him with my life. I'm going to put it all on Christ. All my hopes and all of my fears, I'm going to take each and every one of them along with the burden of my sin and cast it upon Christ, who says, I will take it. Cast your burdens upon me. I am the suitable yoke fellow. Your burden will be my burden, and my burden yours, and my burden is light. And for the child of God to know that your Father has tremendous interest and involvement in the pennies and the shoelaces of your life. He's that powerful that He could care just as much about those things as geopolitics. Each moment of your life is a piece of God's providential puzzle. And so that means that in your life, nothing is trivial. Nothing is overlooked. Your difficulties tonight, your present circumstances, your illness perhaps, your mind, your burdened heart, the problems that you have at work or at home that just don't seem to have an answer. Your coldness, your distance from Him, the Lord, due to sin. The grief you feel. His sovereign hand which guides the stars and carries this universe also mends the brokenness of a contrite heart. And you sit here tonight under the sound of His word, not by happenstance, but by His divine appointment. This very thing you feel, this stirring perhaps in your spirit, is His loving summons to you tonight to draw near to Him. To cast away the heavy burdens of doubt and take up the yoke of Christ. And so, dear Kinnelon congregation, let's not respond in fear today, but in faith, embracing the full benefit of His fatherly oversight, whether it's pain or joy. And if you find yourself uncertain of your standing before Him, look to the cross. Look at the empty tomb. Behold the undeniable proof of His love and commitment to those that He calls His own. And so tonight, don't cast just your sins, but your sins and your fears and your future and your very selves upon Him. Trust in Him. For in Jesus Christ, every promise of the Father to you, dear soul, is yea and amen. Amen. Shall we pray? O gracious God in heaven, here we have touched upon truth of thy word from our forefathers who have spoken the heart of so many so often over the centuries. The questions that we have, and tonight the question of providence. And herein lies the peace that surpasses all understanding, that thy people are held and sustained and cherished by thy almighty hand, thy fatherly hand, through the redemptive work of the Son and by the comforting assurance of thy Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, bless, we pray, this truth to our hearts. And may thy Spirit apply it in whichever way he sees fit to thy glory and praise. Dismiss us now in thy peace. Watch and care over us. And unite us all together again in thy perfect time. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.